Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, the news this week reported charges of sexual impropriety being made by a powerful man. This time it was a CBS executive, and so far they are just charges. Nothing has been proved. But we have heard so many of these stories this year. Hollywood moguls, Roman Catholic cardinals, actors, politicians, there seemed no end to the accusations. And when I heard the story this week, I thought, oh, not again, I'm tired of this. And yet, in a climate where the Me Too movement has emboldened many women to speak openly for the first time about abuse that they've experienced, we are likely to keep hearing these stories. After years and decades and even centuries in which women were expected to keep silence about whatever happened to them, women are now finding their voices and saying, there is another side to this story. Haven't you ever wanted to hear Bathsheba's side of the story? To hear how her relationship with David got started from her point of view? In the story we read today, Bathsheba seems to be pretty passive in this encounter. And Bathsheba is pretty often judged harshly. Did you notice the Bible doesn't say one word against her? And yet, readers have often accused her of seduction. They've said things like, well, why was she bathing up on the roof in the first place? Surely she must have known that David could see her. Surely she was intentionally bringing this whole situation about, not thinking perhaps about the cultural realities of where the roof was where most people lived a great deal of their lives. David is the one with power, and Bathsheba is the object of his lusts. She is really more of a victim, and victims may make us uncomfortable. Victims may call up unpleasant emotions in us. We want to distance ourselves from them. Maybe we even want to judge them and say that they are responsible for what has been done to them. Too often, we blame the accusers in cases of sexual abuse. We say things like, boys will be boys, or women have always used sex to get ahead. And we wonder, why not let bygones be bygones? Why make such a fuss about it? Why tear down a powerful man, an otherwise good man? Why ruin a career? In fact, we may experience a sense of loss as each powerful figure is unmasked. Bill Cosby, though he was the quintessential father figure on TV, was evidently a predator. And now we cannot watch Cosby reruns in the same way. And now David, the shepherd king, the slayer of Goliath, the pride of Israel, the model for the Messiah to come, was also evidently an adulterer who took what he wanted. And that has to change how we view him. It makes his role in the Bible much more complex. David spies Bathsheba, finds out that she is someone else's wife, ignores that, and sends for her and sleeps with her. Should she have said no? Could she have said no? No to the king? Because it is hard to say no to power. Really hard to say no when your job is on the line. Or when your life is on the line, when you don't have any power yourself, it is hard, if not impossible, to say no. So we don't hear it. We don't hear Bathsheba say no. In fact, she doesn't say anything until she says those fateful words, I'm pregnant. How inconvenient. How public. You can't hide a pregnancy forever. Her husband, Uriah, has been away at war, this war that David is supposed to be leading, and maybe he's been gone for several months now, and he's obviously not the father of this baby. And so David goes through an elaborate charade, really, with Uriah, brings him home, tries to get him drunk, tries to get him to go home to his wife. But surprisingly, Uriah has some strong principles. He says, "How can I do these things when my companions are still at the front, while the ark of the Lord is still on the battlefield?" There is an implicit criticism of David himself because he has done these things. How could he have done these things? And these principles of Uriah's get him killed. His virtue turns out to be as inconvenient as Bathsheba's pregnancy. So David asks his general, Joab, to place Uriah in the toughest fighting and then withdraw the other forces and leave him alone so that Uriah may be struck down and killed by the enemy. How despicable. I really want to wash my mouth out after telling this story. There is nothing heroic about David in this story. But what I have read is not the whole of it. However, next week we will return with part two, in which God speaks a word to him and David is unmasked and convicted. But for now, we have a pregnant Bathsheba, a betrayed Uriah, and a corrupt David. Power has been abused and has wrecked all of these lives. Where is God in this story? For that matter, where was God when priests and cardinals abused girls and boys in their parishes and seminarians in their charge? Where was God when power was abused and all those lives were wrecked? And in response to this question about God, I think about Shirley Schroer, whose funeral was here yesterday. Shirley developed a career as a social worker with a specialty working with victims of sexual abuse, including some people who had been so damaged that they developed multiple personalities to cope with the trauma. And Shirley became known in her field for this work. And what's more, Shirley had also worked with offenders, many of whom had been abused themselves. Shirley heard the pain that lies behind each person's story. And I think that's where God is, listening to each person's story, not dismissing the Bathshebas by saying they should have known better, and also, as we will see not next week, not completely writing off the Davids. In fact, both David and Bathsheba are listed in Jesus' family tree at the beginning of Matthew. Both the sinful man and the abused woman are part of Jesus' heritage. At the end of our great skit this morning, Bart, Ed Lau, asked, "Why couldn't we understand what Jesus was talking about? And what else is Jesus saying that we just don't get?" Well, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat. You, listen to Bathsheba's story. You, treat each one as a beloved child of God. You." In the end, it may be as simple as that. You cannot completely write off a person's life because of the wrong they have done, and nor can we sweep the wrong under the rug and pretend it didn't happen. Bathsheba is here to tell us otherwise. She is here to say, "Me too." She has a story to tell. And perhaps some of you have a story to tell as well. A story of wrong done against you. And a story of courage and survival. God is with the Bathshebas, bringing them justice and making sure that every story is heard. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.